so much in the Word of God. For how was it Joshua that made the sun stand still? Bending time has to do with how to make the most out of your chronos time, but how there is kairos time, how God can actually multiply your time.
Good day, Kingdom Corner podcast followers and devotees. The great Matt Gaib with you once again on this wonderful Memorial Day, coming to you with a reading from Searching for Significance, a devotional journey through Ecclesiastes. We've been going through this little book of mine, little devotional book, and we are on chapter 4 today, Eternity, the Undiscovered Country. And what I've been doing is reading through each chapter, and then it doesn't take long to read through the chapter, so I've been teaching a little bit more, bringing more scriptural truths, bringing more insights that I think are relevant for today, for the time we're in, for what's going on, hopefully in our lives today, as the Lord would impress that upon my heart. So that's what we've been doing. We're on chapter 4. Just to give you a little background, Searching for Significance, a devotional journey through Ecclesiastes. You can buy this at Lazarus Tribe Media, LazarusTribeMedia.com, LazarusTribeMedia.com, or on Amazon. Searching for Significance, a devotional journey through Ecclesiastes. I might also set you up with a digital copy if you contact me. But that's the book I've been reading from. That's the God gave me this book back in 2019, the summer of 2019. I was doing another devotional read through Ecclesiastes. I had studied it over the years, at least probably 5 or 6 years at one time total. I mean, I was studying other things, but I was really into the book. Taught 2 years in a church on Ecclesiastes. So I love the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a lot to be said of the book. Some find it very negative, but I think God inspired it even so. And we've talked about that before, and we'll probably touch on that again. So we're reading through this book, and I also have a video class on the book that's based on the book with questions and things like that, where I taught a video class on it that is available. But anyway, that's my book. And so what I want to do before we get into this chapter on Eternity, the Undiscovered Country, is I want to back up and go back to chapter 3, which we talked about the last time I believe we were together, and that is of times and seasons, of times and seasons. And this is the first 8 verses in Ecclesiastes, and then the last 2 or 3 verses, 9, 10, and 11, we'll get into today. They kind of are tied together. And we talked about times and seasons last time, and I gave you a beautiful word picture, and I described it. It's better on video, of a yardstick that I attached 4 inches to the end of. And so it was 40 inches. And every 10 inches, if you draw that out, if you can, I have one that's of construction paper on my wall, and every 10 inches represent 20 years of a person's life. Now, this verse, if we want to read it, I've got to read it again. I read it last week. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. In other words, life goes by quickly, really. I'm finding that out at 68 years young. Psalm 90 and verse 10. So I like to think, you know, I feel in pretty good shape. I lost a lot of weight. Probably in the best shape I've been in for a number of years. I like to think that unless Jesus comes back again or something else occurs, which it could, that I will live 80 years. So I diagrammed that out on that yardstick. 20 years, 40 years. You know, 20 years, you're from babyhood to adolescence to 20 years old. You know, that's all your adolescence and getting right to the edge of adulthood. The next 20 years, you're establishing your life and your career. Maybe you're getting married. So that's up to 40 and so on down. You can go back and listen to the podcast from last time of times and seasons. But I wanted to add another exercise for you that really will bring this home for you. If you take this verse, The years of our life are 70, or by reason of strength, 80. We'll just say 80. Where are you at on this timeline? Have you done the math for your own life? I just did the math again this morning because I'm 68 years young. So that means, according to this verse, now I could live longer. I could be gone before this time is up, before I'm 80 years old. But according to this, I figured it out today because I was 68 October 29th of 2023. I have 11 years and 7 months, according to this verse, to live. Or I multiplied it all out. 12 years total. I'm close to 12 years, 11 years, 7 months, times 52 weeks means I have 624 weeks. And I divided that by 4 weeks in a month. So that gives me 156 months. And then since I've lived 5 months this year already, you know, of my 68th year, I subtracted those 5 months. So that puts me at 151 months. So another way of looking at it is I took 365 days in a year. I multiplied it by 11 years. So that gives me 4,000. 15 years. And then I took, because I have 7 months left, I figured that all out, 7 months and the days in the months. I figured I had another 215 days to add on to that. So I have 4,230 days if I live to be 80. Give or take. You know, that may not be perfect, but that's close. And I think it's good for us. That's looking really at Chronos time, because that's what this timeline is all about in Ecclesiastes. You know, Ecclesiastes has about 9 to 12 major topics, and time is one of them. And I love the study of time, the study of seasons, of times and seasons. I love that study. There's so much in the Word of God. If you wanted to find a great book, go get Dan McCollum from 2019. Dan McCollum, M-C, and then capital C-O-L-L-A-M, Dan McCollum, Bending Time, Bending Time. And the blurb down at the bottom of that is Assessing or Accessing Heavenly Realities for Abundant Living. It's a beautiful book. I've read it a couple times. Makes me want to go back and read it again. Bending Time. You know, remember how, was it Joshua that made the sun stand still? Or was it under Moses? I cannot quite remember. But the sun actually stood still so they could eradicate Judah's, Israel's enemy at that time. Bending Time has to do with how to make the most out of your Chronos time, but how there is Kairos time. And we'll get into that in a second. How God can actually multiply your time, just kind of like, I'm not saying he's going to literally make the sun stand still, but, you know, it's just like, and I'm going off here because I have a lot on my heart today. It's just like when you have, like me, I'm a cerebral guy. I like to line everything out, either probably mostly the night before, what I'm going to do the next day. And I have the hours lined out, probably an hour at a time, sometimes a half hour at a time. And, you know, I got to do all these things. And sometimes I look at that and I think, I just don't have time for my devotions. I don't have time to pray. I can't get all that in. And yet I found that God, like Dan McCollum says, will bend time for me, make it work when I spend time with him. And it's like the loaves and fishes. It's like my time is increased. Have any of you ever found that out? So that's a beautiful lesson. When we're talking about times and seasons, we live in Chronos time, but God would like to visit us with Kairos moments. And there's so much that could be said about that. We're going to go on here. So I gave you my example there. But I want to read this scripture again that leads into verse 11 of Ecclesiastes, which is the theme of chapter 4. I want to read these verses again because they are so beautiful. And we read it last time, but we'll read it again. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love, verse 8, and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And then verse 9, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? And verse 10, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And then, you know, he's referring back in an under the sun view of these first 8 verses. And this is, we've been placed down here, we said last time, in Chronos time, in a cycle of life where these things happen from the time we're born up till the time we die. A number of things happen. We may be involved in the military and unfortunately have to go off to a war. We get married. We have children. You know, things happen to us, a time to rend and a time to sow, you know, and all these things, a time to laugh and a time to cry, a time to dance, you know, times of great celebration and times of sorrow. You know, this is the day, it's Memorial Day. I remember my father. He was a Marine, and he served in Korea. And I remember him today because it's Memorial Day. We remember our fallen veterans. And that brings a little sadness to me. He's been gone since 1997, so just shy of 30 years. And my mother, that's a kind of an irony here. She lived with us the last 7 years of her life, built an apartment onto our house out there. And she passed away 2 years ago today at 5:28 in the evening. She passed on into eternity. So, you know, that was a sad time. It was a sad time when I lost my father. You know, they're both gone now. And today is a Memorial Day. I can remember not only my father, but I can remember my mother because she passed on 2 years ago today. And I can also have joy because I remember how they lived. They were good people. They loved Jesus. You know, they had some challenges. They didn't do everything perfectly. But it is Memorial Day, and we may get into that more. There's some real revelation with when we talk about memorial, and we look that up in the scripture. I was studying that a little bit today. There's so much on my heart that these themes of times and seasons and eternity bring out to me. So verse 9 and 10, what profit hath he that worketh it and laboreth? He's talking about this cycle of life. What profit is there? He's only seeing the negative part, and he was the richest man in the world. You know, he had everything that in chapter 2 it talked about. He had everything that his heart desired. If he wanted it, he went and got it. He was like Jeff Bezos. He had all the toys that money could buy and all the experiences money could buy. And yet he says, what profit is there in all this labor? I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men. In other words, we only saw negative in the cycle of life. And I would say, when we're walking with God, when we're filled with His Spirit, when we're walking close to Him, these kind of things, even though there may be trials and tribulation in our lives, things that come by us, like losing my mother or my father, but, you know, God says that He works in Romans 8:28, all things together for good to those that love Him. That even in those most excruciating times, when we lose a loved one, when something happens to us physically, you know, we can still have His joy and we can still see His hand on our life. Whereas our brother here, Solomon, had backslidden. I think the first few years of his life, when he became king and had given his heart fully to God and just wanted God's wisdom and God's anointing and God's direction, he would have said like us that God, no matter what happened, but God was helping him in it, and there were good things to see. But now in Ecclesiastes, which we said was a viewpoint of under the sun, was a worldly viewpoint that God still inspired to be put in the canon of Scripture. You know, kind of a slap in the face. I always emphasize that in the book, Searching for Significance, that it might wake us up, you know, that there is no real satisfaction. There's no real fulfillment in the world. And all the things in the world, if it's not centered in God, if God is not the real goal and aim and Lord of your life. But when God is the real goal and aim and Lord of your life, just like when Solomon started out, you can have all these other things because you're not putting them before God. I'm just thinking back when he was inaugurated, Solomon, he said, you know, the biggest thing I want is wisdom. And God said, because you've asked for wisdom, you know, that was your number one thing you wanted from me. I'm going to also give you riches, you know. Isn't that like God? You know, he gives us more than we could ever ask or think. So I'm going on and on. I've talked about Chronos time. This is the first topic, Chronos time. We haven't even got into reading the chapter, but that's all right because I have a lot of thoughts, and it kind of ties into all about Chronos time last time that we talked and the cycle of life here and bringing you another example by numbering your days. That would be a good thing for you to do. Not that you should be obsessed with it, but you should be aware of it, right? But we talked about the cycle of life. God has set us within it, within this cycle. He has given us a free will, though. I mean, if you look at the animals, like the monarch butterfly, the birds, the bears have to hibernate. The birds fly south. The monarch butterflies fly down to California and to Mexico. That's innate within them. They have no choice. And this is what we're going to get into more today. You know, God has placed eternity in our heart. That's what this chapter is about. You know, it's inside of us, just like the animals have it inside of them to hibernate or migrate south for the winter, you know, and then come back north. We have it in us to follow God. But the difference is the animals don't have a choice, you know, because they don't have a soul. But we do. We have a choice. That's the big difference. We'll get into that more. We choose. We make choices how we can live or how we will live, whether we're going to follow God like Solomon did at first or whether not, you know. That's what we make that choice, you know. Every day we make those kind of choices. As we stated, we are all born into this world and set down in the cycle of life between life and death, you know. That's how that... Those verses 1-8 start out, you know, starts out with we're born. And in the end, I think the end of it is we die, you know, and whatever comes between, you know, all the defining moments in life, your children being born, you getting married, maybe you have to serve in the military. I don't know. All those things. And then 9 and 10 sum up Solomon's view. And we said it was very negative, you know, all just travail and a lot of hardship. Is how we could say Solomon, you know, paraphrase it. It's travail and hardship. What does it profit a man? But then, this is what's so beautiful. We're going to find out today, right in the midst of all this, in the middle of this chapter, you know, that's the way Ecclesiastes is. It's so beautiful. A lot of it is under the sun view, his own worldly ideas and thoughts of a man that's away from God, but God still inspired this to be in the Bible that we might read it, you know, that without God, you know, how miserable a person can be, that it would be like a slap in the face to get us to turn to God. But right in the middle, a lot of these, there's a number of places in Ecclesiastes, and this is what this chapter is about today, where divine revelation is expressed through Solomon. He has a glimpse of divine insight at the end of these 10 verses. About man and just how different we are than all living creatures. Like I said, we have a choice. Let's read verse 11 because that's how this book starts off. I'll make a few more comments about it, and maybe we'll read the chapter today. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has set, or he's made everything beautiful. It's another translation in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning to the end. We're gonna get into this verse. I'm gonna read from the chapter in a minute. But I just a few more comments. He's made everything beautiful. The Hebrew would be he's made everything fair, pleasant, working, well, excellent in his time. All these things we read about in the first eight verses are all beautiful when it's in the when we're serving God, when it's in we're walking before God. All these things from birth to death, everything we go through, laughing, crying, dancing, all these things, if it's in if we're in time, like I talked about last week, on time with God, these things can be beautiful. Even the painful things, we can see, as Romans 8:28 says, that all things work together for good. He's made everything beautiful, that is fair, pleasant, working well, and excellent in his time. That's the key, in his time, not in our time, not in the way we look at things, right? The negative of life under the sun, as Solomon sees it, for all these events, that's what 9 and 10 is about, the pessimist view. But verse 11 is God's view. He has made everything beautiful, fair, pleasant, working well, excellent in his time. When we are on time with God, when we show up on time, all is beautiful, even within this world where at times things may break down, things may not work, people get sick. Again, I quote Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. I forgot that part. We've been called, but are we going to walk within that purpose? Are we going to choose to be chosen? I talk about that in my podcast a lot. We have to choose to be chosen on God's team to walk with him. We're not like the animals where we have no choice, right? He has set the world, the better translation is eternity, in their heart. The word olam means like long lasting, to last forever. So eternity is a good translation. He set eternity in their hearts. There's so much there. Let me see. What shall it profit a man? Matthew 16:26. I want to read that. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? That is just a consummate nutshell view of Ecclesiastes. A man who gained the whole world. I'm not sure Solomon lost his soul. I'm thinking that in the end, he came back to God. But I don't know. Even as much as I've studied Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and the life of Solomon, I don't know that for sure, but I like to think that he returned to God. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world like Solomon, but loses his soul, right? Wow, there's so much to be said. So with that, let's go ahead and let's go ahead and read this book, read this chapter. And then what I think we'll do is we'll come back again, and we'll, you know, we don't have to hurry through these chapters. We don't have to hurry reading them and dissecting them. We can come back because there's so much that's on my heart of this about this chapter. So many thoughts that came to me as I began to study it. Eternity, the undiscovered country. Ooh. He has made everything, Ecclesiastes 3:11, beautiful or appropriate. Let's read those words again. He has made everything, what did we say? Fair, pleasant, working well, excellent. And here's the key words, three words, in his time. Not in your time, not in my time, but in his time. He's made everything beautiful. Can you receive that today? In his time. He has set, and this is so beautiful, we're going to get into this, eternity in their heart. Yep, so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning to the end. So let's read this chapter and then see where else we can go today. Or if not today, next episode. This past week as a family, we spent several evenings watching special TV telecasts of our nation landing on the moon. Saturday, June 20th was the 50th anniversary when Neil Armstrong first set foot on the moon, exclaiming, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." In this simple verse that Solomon expressed, I believe, spiritually speaking, we can see so much from our nation's space exploration that parallels our own spiritual journey. In this example from Ecclesiastes, eternity would represent the moon. Since inception into the kingdom of God as his children, based on our acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have commenced a journey to set foot on eternity. We know when we pass away someday, or when Jesus takes us in the rapture, we will literally be in eternity or in heaven. I would say that God setting or placing eternity in our hearts signifies a journey that can begin for us all when we enter his kingdom, if we choose to venture to the moon, so to speak, that is, to the eternal realm each day. Let me read this last sentence again. I would say that God setting or placing eternity in man's heart, in our hearts, in your heart, can signify a journey that can begin for us, can begin for you, when we enter his kingdom. That is, if we've accepted Jesus Christ, it can begin right away. If we choose, we have to choose. We have to choose to be chosen. If we choose to venture to the moon or to the eternal realm each day. All right? It's more than just getting to heaven when we pass away or when Jesus comes again. I can tell you that. Every person from the most wicked, Hitler, Stalin, to the most saintly, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, has had God place or set, and the Hebrew is such a beautiful language, has set like a hook that hooks fish, you know, eternity in his or her heart the moment he created them. He set that in your heart like a hook. He's hooked onto that. Of course, like a fish, you can break that line and escape from it. That's your choice. You make that choice, right? Hitler, Stalin, what did they? They chose to walk away from that. They chose to break that line, to get rid of that hook that was in their heart. You know, I've often said about Stalin that he, as a young boy, he went to a Bible camp, and he was awarded year in and year out for a few years because he had so much of the Bible memorized. But it was all in his head, and it didn't, at least as far as we know, reach down into his heart, did it? Because he became a wicked, wicked man, killing millions and millions of people, right? So sad. So he made the wrong choices. Like animals migrating or hibernating, each of us was created with an innate need or desire for God. That's that hook. We have a knowing that there is a creator who desires a relationship with you and I. Just, you know that today. If you've received nothing else today, please receive that. You've been created with a desire. You've been created to know God, to know your creator. However, what we do with that desire is personal choice that God gave us. We can deny that longing all of our lives or choose to take that journey to experience eternity that he set in our hearts. You know, just like some people with Elon Musk and I think Bezos, because they have they have so many billions of dollars that they're putting their own space rockets into space, and people have gone out into orbit with them. They pay millions of dollars, or I don't know how much, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that. They made that choice to go in that rocket. You know, we can make the choice to travel to eternity, right? To begin that journey today. For many of us travelers on this eternal spiritual journey, we have been taught, now this is where it gets deeper. We have been taught that it begins and ends with salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, that's what a lot of us have been taught in the church, right? I'm making a lot of comments with my book today. We've been taught that, you know, in a lot of churches, right? We believe that we could not truly comprehend the depths and the beauty of eternity until we pass away from this life and join the heavenly host around God's throne. However, I have come to disagree with that view. I remain convinced there is so much more we can taste and experience and see of the eternal realm, even while still in this body on this planet. There is such a more profound connection we can have with eternity, with the eternal realm, than we have ever realized was possible. Amen. Here is how Paul expressed this. I'm reading Ephesians 3:16 through 20 in the Amplified Classic Version, I believe. May he grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his spirit in your inner self. That is the indwelling in your innermost being and personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith. And may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, that is God's people, the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. Well, isn't that powerful? It surpasses mere knowledge without experience. It's not just head knowledge. It's to be experienced. That you might be filled up throughout your whole being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. Simply stated, we can know and experience the depth of God's love in this life. This love flows from the realms of eternity. Today's devotional is titled Eternity, the Undiscovered Country, just like the old Star Trek movie where peace with an arch enemy was being sought out and called the Undiscovered Country. For me, when I wrote this devotional, experiencing eternity here in this life for us is an undiscovered country. And it's just waiting for each of us to pursue it, discover it, and taste it. Paul quotes the Old Testament prophet to reveal this in 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Did you catch the phrase in verse 10? God revealed these unheard of and unseen truths to us in our spirits, and is here and now. They are not something only reserved for heaven. Significance point. The depths of the riches of God's truth and love await our discovery. Yes, they may be undiscovered today, but if we pursue them, God will surely reveal them to us. Proverbs 25:2. I leave you with this in the book here. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings. Are you going to be a king today? It's the glory of kings to search out a matter. Will we choose today to be those kings, searching out the riches of eternity? Amen and amen. We're going to come back to this chapter next week, next episode. There's so many more things I want to talk about here. Eternity, the undiscovered country, and we're just scratching the surface. And we could spend 100 years here if we had that much time left in Chronos time and still only scratch the surface of this. Oh, God desires you to experience eternity. Not just read about it in my book or read about it in the Bible, but to experience it. To experience, as Ephesians talks about, and we're going to get into that, the heavenly realm, the heavenly places, which is all what Ephesians is about. So we're going to get into that. I love it when I can tie in my other favorite book, probably my favorite New Testament book, Ephesians with Ecclesiastes, and bring some tie-ins. And we're going to do that next time we're together, and we're going to talk about this great chapter again. I want to read this again. Eternity, the undiscovered country, Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful. That is fair, pleasant, working well, excellent in his time. He has set as a hook eternity in man's heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning to the end. Be blessed, my friend. Come again and hear again some more truths next time. Thank you for listening to the Kingdom Corner Podcast. Have an awesome day and an awesome week.